Welcome to the Minute Eight Gang Podcast, episode 344 in 2016. I'm Steve Borsch, and I'm on with Tim Elliott.
Happy New Year.
Graham Thickens.
Happy New Year as well, and I'm just back from an invigorating stay on the North Shore.
Oh, we saw your pictures. Phil Wilson.
Hello.
How you guys doing?
Great.
Awesome.
Great. Are you sitting here with your muffin top, thinking about going on a crash diet for...
Oh, yeah.
For January.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's it. That's what I'm thinking about.
Yeah.
You're a skinny guy.
Yeah, yeah. You're genetically skinny.
We have.
Don't I wish? Yeah, don't I wish? Yeah. Well, skinny in all the places except for my gut. So that's lovely.
That is the problem.
It happens. It happens. So good holiday?
Yeah.
It was a great holiday. How about yourself?
It was. Well, we were in Seattle for the holiday. And
that's right. You were.
With family. And so that was great, except it was an eating fest. It was just like there was food all the time.
It's like being on a cruise.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But, you know, I just love Seattle. But the kicker is I keep thinking about the Cascadian Fault.
Yeah.
You know, because the big one. Vancouver, Seattle, Portland, they're all set for 1.5 to 2 minutes of shaking.
Shaking.
If the Cascadian Fault goes off like a zipper, so it goes all the way down, the shaking will be 5 to 6 minutes. And if it does that, those cities aren't going to be standing anymore.
So, I actually met with someone from Portland last week who's thinking of relocating here, and she gave that as one of her reasons.
Really?
Yes. She rattled off a bunch of other reasons why she's getting tired of Portland, but that she mentioned as the last one.
Wow.
I thought, oh yeah, that's kind of the big one.
Is it just all the caffeine has seeped into the earth, and that's what's happening here?
I don't know. Or the crap.
Well,
beer.
You know, it's the Pacific. What do they call it? The Ring of Fire, and so you know, the Ring of Fire, the big Japan earthquake with the tsunami and all that stuff, and then down into Chile. You know, there's been stuff all around the rim, except in the Pacific Northwest. So, I mean, there's been a few things, but anyway, let's not go there.
Okay.
Let's instead talk about Minnesota and little technology. Now, this is for everyone listening. This is our prediction show, so we're going to briefly cover what we talked about 2015, whether we hit or miss, and then get into 2016 predictions. But there are a couple of Minnesota stories. One of which is one about Jamf software. Who put this one in?
I did.
And tell us about this. So well, there was a survey or something, or
yeah, this is one of the stories that Graham had stuck into our Flipbook magazine that I transcribed, that I thought was good. You know, it has a rundown here of some of their survey. So Graham, do you have any reason why you stuck it in the notes?
Well, I think it's obviously a good thing for Jamf, which is why they do this survey, the way they help enterprises manage their Apple devices. And I don't know if this is this the first year they've done the survey, Steve,
it's the first one I've known about.
Yeah, me too. But it makes sense that they would uncover these trends associated with Apple adoption in business, because that's what they do. They know it better than anyone. So what they did was survey their customers. And, you know, I didn't read the whole survey, but you can download the PDF right from this link that we have and read what's going on. And it's obviously an area of growth for them and an area of growth for Apple.
Can I interject? Because there's one slide that talked about enterprises reported 36% growth in iPad, 46% in iPhone, and 68%. In Mac. Now, you know, percentages can always be skewed, you know, because it could go from 1 to 100, you know, instead of mass adoption. But with IBM going full bore, I've got a sister-in-law at IBM, and she said, you know, everybody's getting Macs.
Yep.
Now, that's subjective, but still, if IBM goes Mac, that's much easier for enterprises to adopt it because it'll be supported.
Yep. It's, I mean, Jamf is definitely one of our hottest local tech companies.
I agree.
Mean, they've just been on a continuous trajectory, and there's no sign of things slowing down for them. So it only makes sense.
Yeah, go ahead.
That they would do a survey like this. I mean, they should know this game better than anyone. And I don't know if Apple does any surveys like this themselves. I doubt it. So good for them.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Phil.
Well, I was just going to say it's too bad they're moving into that really ugly building on the North Loop. So
yeah,
aren't they moving into that white piece of crap that's been on the market for forever? Ugh.
Yeah, down there, what is it called, Washington Square or something? Or
yeah, I mean, am I right? It is that white building that's got kind of that really 70s or late 60s, early 70s facade, right?
Yeah.
That's it.
Well, they've never been into glamorous, you know, but they need the space.
Yeah, exactly.
They I'm sure are completely redoing or have already redone, or the owner has redone the building, and I'm sure it'll be quite nice inside.
Oh, I'm sure it will be. Yeah. But still.
But when you see that big JMFF flashing neon sign atop, I'm kidding.
Right.
I don't know what kind of signage they might have, but.
Well, I wonder if the SmartThings developer group up there is going to have a neon sign, because don't isn't that group still there in Northeast?
Well, they're in Northeast.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're in Northeast, yeah.
Well, now Samsung is building SmartThings control into every 2016 smart TV, and I thought that was pretty interesting, even though I've got mine turned off. I don't even have mine connected. It's just a dumb monitor, but that just goes to show that they're really leveraging that acquisition.
Well, you know, I hope the monitor can't hear you talk about it that way. She's called
Yeah.
How about self-esteem building, Steve? Jeez.
Yeah, I suppose I could. But, you know, the only frustrating thing is since we rolled into the new year, my hub isn't working. It doesn't turn stuff off.
Oh, so, really?
Yeah, it turns it on just fine, but it's not turning stuff off. So
uh-oh.
I've got to get I got to dig into that today.
Is this like a Y2K thing or what's going on here?
No, well, they came out with a new hub, and if you go to the SmartThings website and click on community in the upper right and just go through some of the discussions, which I do, there's the natives are restless. I mean, things are not going so well in SmartThings world because people have events missed, and they have alarms that suddenly go off in the middle of the night, and just really all kinds of stuff where stuff just isn't working, and they're kind of hammering on SmartThings to really, you know, get their act together and fix that kind of stuff instead of coming out with a new hub and doing all these integrations with all the other Samsung stuff. But, you know, we all know that they have to do the bidding of their new overlords.
Right.
They can't Ooh. Just do whatever they want.
And they are overlords. And this appears to be, at least the story implies, this is sort of the reason why Samsung bought SmartThings was to eventually go here, and it's taken them this long to get the TV integration.
Right.
But, you know, the founders, as far as things going wrong, I mean, have they maybe already even checked out with their untold riches? I mean,
no.
They haven't
yet.
No,
in fact.
They're still locked in, huh?
Yeah, well, Alex Hawkinson and Ben Edwards and the other guy that's a COO or CTO or something, they all moved out to the Bay Area.
Yeah, and they I'm sure were locked in for a year or two.
Yeah, and they're heads down, because especially Ben, I see him everywhere. Yeah, he's connected. He's doing developer days and developer hangouts with Google Hangouts, and he's very, very active. Yeah.
Huh. Well, maybe it's just getting large and unwieldy and part of such a big battleship now in Samsung that it's hard to make things happen quickly.
Yeah. Well, we got a lot to cover here today, boys. So let's just briefly touch on a couple of big tech stories that happened outside of Minnesota. And the big data and computational medicine, who guards the data? I thought that was a really fascinating article. Because the biggest thing that I get concerned about is now you just don't have just 23andMe doing DNA analysis, but you've got Ancestry.com and you've got at least three others that are doing this as well. And who's safeguarding the genomes of all these people? I mean, that's just one example, but what about all the other
aren't you in charge of that, items? Steve? Aren't you the one guarding them?
Well, I have been.
I thought it was your day to watch them.
That's right. That's right. But I mean, look at how much data is going to be flowing, and especially when you have companies like the local Optum here, part of United Health Group, and they have APIs for their data. And so I don't know what data they're exposing, but I'm sure it's not, you know, private HIPAA-related data from people, but that's going to be a big concern.
Yeah, the genome data, though, it does raise a whole new question about privacy of data, for sure, and we're going to be having more and more of this. So it's a legitimate question to be asking.
Well, and then you've got the big thing with the Juniper. You know, Juniper, for everyone listening, if you don't know, is like a Cisco. They make routers and other hardware that corporations and governments use to route digital data through their own networks and out in and out of the public internet and so forth. And the NSA helped British spies find security holes in these Juniper firewalls. And this has kind of been a big story for a couple of weeks. But the one that I didn't know about that was in The Intercept was the CIA had a campaign to get into iOS because of the lockdown of iOS. And it's like, you know, it's one thing if the Chinese are trying to hack into us, and quite another if you've got, you know, especially Russians coming after WordPress websites and anonymous going after, you know, hacking sites and all that. But when we have our own intelligence agencies trying to crack into all this stuff, and it's like, oh my God, come on.
A lot of people don't seem to care, though. That's what's surprising me.
I know.
I'm concerned about this, and I'm sure you are, but a lot of people are like, well, I'm not doing anything wrong.
Right, right.
Like, well, okay.
You know the best comeback for that, though, that I found, because I've done it with family members who have said exactly that to me and really denigrated me for being kind of a you know, paranoid tinfoil hat guy, which I know I am. Before you even say it, Phil, I know that that's how I am. But the point is that I always come back and say, okay, well, if you got nothing to hide, then you wouldn't mind if I came over to your house and went through all your drawers, and maybe poked around your computer and see what you're searching on. Well, no, I'm not going to let you do that. Why not? You don't have anything to hide, do you? Why would you not let me? Well, at least you know who I am. Would you allow the government to go in and go through your drawers and search your house and look at your computers and maybe even take them away? And would you allow that? Well, no, I wouldn't want that. Well, that's exactly what's going on, stupid. You know, that's exactly what they're doing right now. So anyway.
Enough of that.
All right.
Yeah, well, Phil, were off on it.
Phil?
Yes. Yes.
So one of the gifts you got, or the gift from your bride, was the new Apple TV. So now they're...
Yes.
Wow.
All
of us have one.
Sweet. Yep. Sweet. Well,
I ended up taking it. They got me the 32, so I took it back and got the 64. For what reason? I don't really need 64, but I always kind of look at future-proofing. So I was,
me too.
Just like,
eh.
Just like,
but have you put that app on that shows you how your storage is being used?
No, I don't want to know, because
there's an app on there that it allows you to do that, and I'm using maybe 3 gigs.
Yeah,
I've got
maybe
a ton of apps on there,
and you're a big too. User.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, me too. No, I'm the same way.
I've got a few games on there and a bunch of apps. So you don't need any more than 32. In fact, I'll be surprised if they don't do a 16, lower cost 16 gigabyte version.
Well, the one thing we don't know, though, is that there are apps that allow you to do downloads. You know, on your iPad, for example, the Xfinity app allows you to download movies and so on. And so there might be that opportunity to do that in the future.
Well, what I've noticed is if I'm streaming a movie off of iTunes, it will download the whole movie in the background as you start streaming it. So that's when it starts to use up data. And then when you've finished that movie, it just goes away and the data is
back.
Yeah. So if you're going to watch a lot of iTunes stuff, so if you have a little kid and they're always watching The Little Mermaid or whatever movie, then that's when you might want to have a bigger capacity. But if you're this small and you just watch a movie, you know, every few days, you know, and you're not constantly watching the same movie, the 32 is fine.
Yeah.
How are you guys liking the search so far? The voice search.
Well, I don't use it very much, to tell you the truth.
Well, I haven't found it works all that great for me, anyway.
Well, here's a little trick. So the other night, my wife and I were Thursday night, New Year's Eve, we were looking for a movie to watch, and so I held down the button and said, "Show me top rated movies in Netflix," and it listed the top rated movies, and these were all 90% plus. And I could scroll through them, and there were probably six or eight of them that I hadn't seen before. And I, you know,
so what'd you end up watching?
It was some Jason Sudeikis movie.
Okay.
We Sleep with Other People or something like that. And we thought it would be kind of a fun rom-com, and it wasn't, but anyway. That's another story.
We did that the other night with I think we did the same sort of thing on Amazon. So it was like, I can't remember what it was. It was supposed to be a rom-com, but it was no rom and no com. So it was like, what?
Oh, too bad.
Well, actually, so there was a little rom, but boy, it was one of those.
So Steve, when you're searching, is the key to say show me? Because I've tried to say just like movie names without saying show me in front of it, and it doesn't work. And I know the movie is there, you know, so maybe that's what I'm missing.
Try that.
If you just went up to me on the street and, you know, hi, Phil, movie names, I wouldn't know what to do with that either.
I should preface everything with, hello, probably. Apple TV.
Yeah.
Please give me
something to act on.
Well, but here's the thing is that I wish they would publish this and give you tips and maybe even show you a video on the Apple TV on how to do the searches, because what I was doing before was show me top movies on Netflix or show me top movies. And it couldn't figure them out. It would say, I can't find anything or whatever. And top rated is what you need to use. And, you know, that's not an obvious tip, I don't think.
No.
So, but, you know, Phil, when you got it and you asked me the question about 4K.
Yeah.
Tim and Graham, what do you think about 4K? And you know, because there's some debate about it. It's quote unquote missing from the new Apple
TV. I'm sure
that
they will add it in a future update of the hardware. But it's so small right now. I don't intend on replacing my television anytime soon. If I did, I would certainly buy a 4K, but there's not a ton of content out there for it.
Yeah,
so I don't think it's a huge miss at this point. And if you care about it, then go and get the new Roku or go get the new Fire TV, both of which support 4K.
Well, and if anyone is considering a 4K TV and is going to be doing streaming, then you better look at your internet service provider and the things they're doing, like Comcast putting caps on, because a regular HD movie is roughly 3 gigabits per second.
Wow.
And so you'll have 4 to 5 gigabytes for a film to watch a movie. With 4K, you can at least double that. Now, depending on the quality that they're giving, if the bit depth is good, you can have 10 to 14 gigabits per second. And I'll tell you, you'll end up with an 8 to 10 gig movie streaming, and it doesn't take too much watching of content before you're going to slam into that ceiling for your cap.
Yep.
And I'm sure that that played into part of Apple's decision on not delivering a 4K experience in the new Apple TV. Yeah. But so CES, CES starts on Monday, doesn't it?
Isn't it later? I think it's later in the week, isn't it?
Consumer Electronics Show. Is it?
Is it Tuesday or Wednesday, something like that?
It might be slid to Wednesday this year, which I find kind of weird. It used to always be Tuesday.
And Graham, you're not going, right?
No, for the first time in 4 years, I don't have to put up with all that craziness.
It doesn't really look like you're going to miss all that much.
No.
Well, and you can read all about it. You can watch things streamed, keynotes and so forth.
Right.
And what I miss is all the PR hoopla and with a press pass, getting to go to some of the big press events. Like, I would have loved to have gone to the VW press event and seen the new concept cars, and the Faraday Future event is going to be
Yes. Now, for those listening, the Faraday Future is a sneaked car. It's in stealth mode, and people are claiming that it could possibly be the new Apple car. And nobody knows. But the Chevrolet Bolt, B-O-L-T, is going to be shown, and that's the under $30,000 electric vehicle that's using the Chevy Volt technology, but it's all electric. And I don't know.
When's the Chevy Dolt coming out?
Yeah. No kidding. Well, it's going to be interesting.
So it's going to be, it'll be a virtual reality fest. That's pretty much all CES is going to be. 4K in virtual reality. So.
Yeah. All right. I'm going to have Mr. Elliott, I'm going to have you run this. We're going to do a quick review of our 2015 predictions, very quick. And then we're going to get into our top five 2016 predictions. And so take it away, Tim.
All right. So last year, I it looks like I got three sort of right and a couple of them kind of wrong. So the ones I got wrong were Apple didn't go on an acquisition spree to fill in critical gaps. They didn't buy Netflix or Spotify. They used their Beats acquisition to do Apple Music, but they really didn't do much else. And Microsoft didn't really take on the Apple Google juggernaut in education as I thought. It's still the same with Apple dominant and Google number two. But I did, hit the right way that Internet of Things is still a hobbyist business. It's failed to cross over into the mainstream. Still is there. Apple did finally release an Apple TV. I thought that they would. It would come out in a stick format. It hasn't, so I missed sort of on that part of it. But the main part of it was that it wouldn't be an integrated TV set, and it's not, as we all know. A gas is currently at $37 a barrel. It got lower than that earlier. So my gas goes to $40 a barrel was right, but it really didn't stimulate the economy and didn't provide any more startup funding because of that. People used it to pay down debts and really not expand the economy at all.
Okay.
So that is a rundown of
where you were last year.
My predictions and where I was.
Well, I'll kind of give you the acquisition thing, though, because they made 10 acquisitions in 2015.
Really?
Yeah.
You just didn't hear much about them.
Yeah.
Huh.
I just stuck a link in the show notes. So, but Graham?
Yeah, well, speaking of Apple, I predicted, and I thought I was kind of going out on a limb, that Apple stock would hit 130, and it did in February. So it didn't take long.
So where's it at now, Graham?
Yeah, 105.
Well, that wasn't part of my prediction, but it's certainly not performed that greatly for the year. It's down, actually, for the year, which is the first time that's happened since 2008. But anyway, I hit that one. The second one was you know, I still thought that Apple would enter the so-called hearing assist market because it's such a big and growing market, and there's so many people that have blown out their hearing listening to iTunes at high volume that, you know, how can they ignore this? But that's just one aspect, I guess. Anyway, they did not make an acquisition there. I think they still might. But anyway, my third one was a focus of big data will be on personal analytics and the personal data bank. Really haven't heard all that much about that in 2015.
That's because the NSA is using it. It's the NSA is using it exclusively. So really, you're probably using it more and more.
Yeah, but we haven't heard a lot about startups or companies doing or introducing, you know, products or services in that realm. Another prediction was around mini analytics, which has continued to grow quite large here locally. At more,
yeah,
than
but that's 50. Not really a, that's really not much of a prediction because you're on the board. So,
well, yeah. So I had, yeah, I
guess insider information.
You just had to call a few friends, and boom, you're growing.
But I wasn't for all of 2014. But anyway, it has grown at 50%. It hasn't gone for profit yet from nonprofits, so that's sort of a partial. I said acquisitions of Minnesota startups will accelerate. They really didn't. In fact, there was almost a dearth of acquisitions, and the only one I can really think of happened in December is when Storyworks agreed to be acquired by Insight Software, another local or Minnesota company. Other than that, none really jump out at me. There certainly weren't any big ones. So that was a miss. I predicted angel funding in 2015 would continue to grow in Minnesota dollar-wise. I don't have a measure of that. It's not measured, that I'm aware of by anyone locally. So it's more of a feel, but I do believe it did increase. There are more angels, more active. Groups like Gopher Angels have now invested a total of $7 million, which is pretty good for an organization that just got started a couple of years ago. So I think that was a hit, but there's no way to really measure it exactly. I also said we'll see a VC round of $20 million or more for at least two Minnesota startups. And that certainly was a hit because both Lead Pages and Code 42 took huge rounds. Well, Code 42 took an $85 million round. Lead Pages, I believe, took a $27 million round. Another big one up around 30. So there's two right there. So I had some hits and some misses. About half and half, maybe.
Yeah. Well, mine were the first one was a miss and a hit. Cybersecurity will be on everybody's top 10 list. Well, it really wasn't on everybody's top 10 list, but it did hit the mainstream. In terms of awareness, and now everybody's buzzing about the Internet of Things and security and all the hacking and so forth. And so it is significantly greater, but I don't think that was a complete hit. The second one was cloud offerings, especially servers, will grow substantially in 2015. That feels incremental, but it was a hit. It actually did. It went up, depending on what you're looking at, overall about 36% in terms of server shipments worldwide. So I don't know if they are that much cheaper. But at any rate, I also predicted that Automattic, the WordPress parent company, if you will, would deliver a mobile app that it enables anyone to deliver high-quality content. Well, they do have a new app, and it's not just mobile. There's also a desktop version, and it's really great. But I thought it would drive this, because of their API now, a new class of themes and especially plugins, and that didn't happen. So that part was a miss. This was a miss and a hit that SSD drives, the solid-state drives, would plummet in price per megabyte. And they went down, but they really didn't plummet. I was hoping that they would almost reach parity with spinning Winchester hard drives, and that did not happen. But they are becoming the preferred, so that was kind of sort of a hit. And then
you're being generous with yourself there, buddy.
Yeah, okay.
Well, how about that 380 gig SSD? You specifically
said plummet.
So. Okay. How about that 380 gig SSD you can wear around your neck for $287, huh, Steve?
Yeah. That's actually, I guess you could call it a solid state drive. Yeah. I mean, it's more of a flash than a true SSD. But And then this last one was a miss. IoT would continue to grow, but 30 to 40% of that growth would come from outside traditional sectors like home automation, wearables, medical implants, and stuff like that. And it's actually all within the same, within the obvious sectors, agribusiness and home automation and so on. So those were mine. And I guess I kind of did okay, but more misses than hits, I think.
You got one right.
Thanks, Tim.
The other ones you kind of... Sort of.
Got a few 50 percenters in there.
I got to be more less complex with my predictions. Phil,
more specific, you know.
Yeah.
You know, it was an interesting year. You know, obviously one of my biggest things was Code 42 was going to be acquired or go public. That didn't happen.
I thought that was going to happen. I thought an acquisition was for sure, but they went the other way with the
I thought the big products for the year would be the Apple Watch, the Oculus Rift, the success, and then the Tesla economy version sedan. I think that was a no brainer by all means. But the one thing that didn't really hit there was, you know, Tesla kind of took a hit during the year with some consumer, you know, user complaints and they lost their big rating from Consumer Reports. Yeah. So let's see, hacking will no longer be news, just like mass shootings. News reports on hacks will have a life cycle of a fruit fly, I believe is what I had. And that came to fruition. We hear about hacks all the time and then they fade away.
So,
the FCC will adopt a form of net neutrality that will favor big business.
They
haven't done that yet.
Yeah, they haven't really done squat. big data will continue to be a buzzword with no specific meaning beyond there's a shitload of information out there. So really, that's true. That's that, you know, there's a lot of talk about, you know, how do we deal with this data? But it really nothing has happened. We still have a shitload of data and we're still not 100% sure what to do with it and what we should, why we should do it something with it. I had a prediction about beacons being, you know, they're going to mature in the mobile space. They kind of went nowhere. Sort of disappeared. More schools will adopt tech curriculum. That's happening nationwide. I feel like that's a hit. And IoT is sort of a, like I think everybody said, it sort of will sort of be meh. So, you know, nothing really big happening in IoT. That's pretty much it. You know, I think that's a hit, but that's not really much of a prediction. So there you go.
All right.
That's what I have. For this year,
go for your top five.
My top five. Do you want to do all five at once or are we round robining?
I think we should round robin.
Yeah, okay. That's what so we've
why,
done before.
Yeah, why don't you pick your first? Yeah, pick one, Phil, and then.
Okay, so the IoT security is going to be its biggest hurdle to become mainstream. Yeah. I just don't think it's going to be mainstream yet this year. It's still a geeky technology a geeky space. I think we all like it, those of us that are a little more high on the geek scale, but I just don't think it's going to be a big mainstream buzz. You know, it's not going to be a big part of everybody's home design. So, but I think the security piece, you'll hear more and more about how are we going to protect the security, you know, protect our Internet of Things devices and what we connect to the internet. I mean, do we care if anybody finds out that our refrigerator is working correctly? No, we don't care about that. But do we care that somebody might be able to say, okay, well, these are the types of things this person asked for on their Amazon Echo. You know, I think they still have to deal with that.
So. Yep. Tim,
your turn.
So I'm a believer in cycles, and I think that Apple's cycle has ended.
Uh-oh.
And we've already started to see this, but I think we're going to see it intensify this year with the tech press really turning against Apple. And you'll see a lot of Apple as doom stories. They'll do exactly what they've done in the past 10 years when they've been the most successful company in the world. And the press will continue to dog them, particularly around the Apple Watch, I think. But, you know, their lack of innovation and whatever. But they will still make a lot of money. So don't think they're going to be going out of business. They're not going anywhere. It's just that it just seems that they were the darling. They won't be the darling.
Did you guys by any chance see the 60 Minutes interview with Tim Cook? That was weeks ago. I know you guys probably talked about it. I think I was off that week when we had the next Minivate Gang podcast. But so I got to tell you, I don't think that went well for Apple. I think Apple kind of came off as arrogant and self-serving.
Yeah.
In that piece. I don't know about you, what you guys thought. I lost a little respect for Tim Cook, I guess. So. This whole defending, running everything offshore was, I don't know, just bugs me.
It is one of the secrets of their success, though.
Well, sure, and also you got to look at all the companies who are relocating their corporate headquarters outside the United States.
Yep.
To either minimize or eliminate tax, and so I think that's 50x. Worse than cash being generated overseas and left overseas, because the repatriation of that money is just like an insane amount of tax to give away. In fact,
but it's basically by saying you're not going to bring the money back over here is saying we don't want to pay for the quality of life that we've established in the U.S. It's easy to generate revenue when you don't give a shit what you're pouring into the environment.
But they don't care. They don't care about that. They only care about their own little world. They don't care about everybody else.
That's wrong.
Well, and the point is the U.S. tax system has been in need of change for a long, long time and is way, way behind the rest of the world. So that's speaking to that issue. That's nothing new. And it won't go away until the U.S. does change its tax code in that respect.
That's right.
Well, I think the tax code could always use a little work. But face it, the quality of life.
Throw it out. Flat tax. Listen,
well, from a business standpoint, I don't know if you can do that. So, I wish you could, but I don't know if you can.
It's the corporate tax we're talking about here.
Yeah, right. The corporate tax. I don't think.
Charge everyone 15%.
You know what? I'm having a visual right now, and it's of this rat hole, and the four of us are climbing down it. So, Graham, what's yours?
First of all, I'm making my predictions with actual numbers, so they're much easier.
Oh, listen to you.
I can make all sorts of vague generalizations. I'm not implying you guys are. I'm just saying. I've been trying to make mine specific with numbers, and in my continued attempt to be sort of the resident tech industry market analyst, I think the tech sector will continue to be strong in 2016, and Apple stock will hit 150, which is have been sort of a mid-range of targets that the analysts have been calling for. M&A will absolutely surge in 2016, and there will be very few new tech IPOs. That piece of the market has definitely been on a downtrend and will continue to be the IPO market. So that's my first one.
You think Apple is going to improve 45 points in this year?
Yes.
What the hell's going to generate? What's going to drive that revenue?
Well,
what's going to drive that number?
The iPhone 7, obviously.
Yeah. Oh, obviously. Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
And we don't know what Apple Watch 2 is yet. Despite those who are already disparaging the Apple Watch, which is sold by most estimates 10 to 12 million units.
That's
those that are talking about it being a failure, show me other tech products that sell $10 to $12 million in less than a year. In fact, more like two-thirds of a year or half a year.
There's the Star Wars.
So, the ganging up on Apple and what Tim alluded to is the tech press will turn against them. Well, at least half the press has been against them for many years, including the IT press, which is nothing more than a bunch of hacks for Windows. let's face it. Windows has
wow.
been
Graham is pulling no punches.
Has been in the enterprise world for many, many years. So the IT press part of the tech press has always been anti-Apple. And, you know, and yeah, sure, they've got more fodder. We're going to keep hearing these. Apple is doomed, but they're not from a stock standpoint. And the other point I want to make is Apple the company and Apple the stock are two different things. And increasingly, they're bifurcating, you know what I mean? The stock market is one thing that doesn't really mean that much to most people. But the company the following and the success of their products and the ubiquity of their products is another thing. And that doesn't necessarily equate with, you know, the Apple, the stock. But anyway, I don't want to ramble on, but that's my first prediction.
Well, my first one is the Internet of Things for home automation will be the tech for homeowners and families, that we're going to see connected devices that are controlled by either a centralized app, maybe a SmartThings hub, maybe a HomeKit app on the Apple TV, maybe a Samsung TV with SmartThings embedded in it. But the point is that home automation will be the category that's really going to take off in 2016. So I think we'll see a ton at CES, and a lot of those products will be purchased by retailers and will be there for the fall selling season, and it's going to be a big deal next Christmas.
So you know, this is a perennial prediction. Why this year, and it hasn't caught on up to now? What's changed?
What's changed is the sheer volume of companies that are providing both items that are controlling, so hubs, for example. And you saw what happened with the Philips Hue bulb when they made it proprietary so it wouldn't control third-party bulbs, and they immediately did an about-face because that's what the market demands. The market demands they don't want to have 57 apps to control all this stuff. They want to have one centralized point. And there's so much stuff now. I mean, you can walk into Home Depot or Menards. You can walk into Walmart and Target, and you can buy controllable plugs. And so it's beginning to be mass marketed. And that's why I think 2016 is finally going to be the one where this particular category takes off.
You know, a great point that I saw someone make recently was that, you know, with all the competing platforms and protocols, we don't see an answer to that real soon. But point solutions, specific things that certain homeowners want, flooding in your basement or whatever, mm-hmm. when you're away from home, people will buy those point solutions. And Phil says, do you really care what your refrigerator is doing? Well, yeah, some people do who are out of town for a week or a month, and they want to know if their refrigerator suddenly stops working and all the food gets ruined.
Or a hack of their refrigerator lets somebody into the internal network in the house.
Well, yeah, those kinds of point solutions, people will pay for those. Will they do what Steve does and go whole hog and, you know, buy the whole setup for the whole house and raising blinds and shutting off lights and, you know, doing how many other million things can Steve do? You know, we're not all Steve, so we have to face up to that.
And it's about time. Okay, Phil. What's your next one, buddy?
I'm back. You're back. What is my next one? I'm back. Morse 360 video, more of the time. Basically, you're going to see a proliferation of 360 videos. Some of it being produced locally here by many of the friends we know,
like
Chuck Olson and his company. So I think that you're going to see a higher rate of adoption of 360 video. The apps will be, I don't necessarily want to say that they're going to be prolific, but I think that you'll see a bigger investment by a lot of online content providers to 360 video. So take a look at that. I think it's more 360 video than virtual reality. I think VR is still a ways off because of investment in what you need to wear to actually experience VR. So I think it'll be more 360 video.
Okay. Tim.
So with Apple in the barrel, I think that Apple or Microsoft will become the new underdog tech company yep. that the tech press will get behind. We've already started to see this, but you'll see it. They will be the next innovator, and they'll basically switch places with each other. But both companies will continue to do what they've been doing previously. I think we'll start to see some really good reviews of Microsoft hardware. We've seen some people do like the Surface Book, the Surface 4, but we'll see even more of that this coming year. And we'll see some negative reviews of Apple products for the first time. So,
well, I bought stock in Microsoft and I bought some more. Because I concur.
Yeah.
I mean, it's Office 365. I have a subscription and they have it loaded in my Windows 10 partition in Parallels, and then also run it on my Macs. And I'm really impressed. The only thing that does bother me is Windows 10 telemetry sends data back to Microsoft regardless of how you configure privacy settings. So there's several articles on the web, and that's the only thing that I think is going to come back to bite them in the ass if they don't address that, because there's going to be more and more negative buzz about the fact that, you know, these things are phoning home and there's nothing you can do about it.
Mm. So Windows 10, not the OS for terrorists or organized crime.
Yeah, right. Right. Okay, Graham.
Okay, VC investment will be down nationally and in Minnesota, but angel investing, meaning seed stage, will be about the same, I think, nationally. And I think it will actually increase in Minnesota.
In technology?
The trouble
just
with
overall?
This, pardon me?
In technology or overall?
Right, in tech. That's,
yeah.
You know.
Okay.
That's what we're talking about here, but the problem with this prediction is I don't have a really great way of measuring angel investing in Minnesota, so I might have a hard time unless I work at it figuring out next year whether I hit or missed on this. But I do think VC investment, which is measured by many, many firms, will be down nationally, and Minnesota will follow suit. I think it was just way out of control in 2015, particularly in later stage, all the unicorn crap, you know, which thankfully we can say goodbye to that term. So
Okay. Anyway,
that's another sort of mostly national or investment sort of a trend, I guess, you know, big picture investment.
Got it.
Stuff.
Well, my second one is voice control becomes embedded in more devices and controls more things as a preferred interface UI. And the reason I say that is that I'm just looking at my own behavior and my wife's behavior, for example, and other people that I see and others that have either Apple Watches or iPhones that also are saying, wait, how'd you do that? And what I do is I will dictate through my Apple Watch, if somebody sends me a text message and I'm driving or if it's going to be long, I can actually just push a button and just talk into it. And, you know, I can even say, you know, blah, 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 period, new paragraph. And it creates a new paragraph and you just dictate the message. So that's one. The other one is the Apple TV we talked about before the podcast started and saying, show me top rated movies on Netflix and boom, up come, you know, 20 or 25 of the top movies. You know, so I'm looking at things like that and the Echo, the Amazon Echo and other products and just seeing that voice control is really the only real option for a lot of the things that we're going to be doing going forward. And I think that 2016 is going to be the tipping point year for that.
Mm-hmm.
Phil.
I agree.
Oh, it's back to me again.
Woo, woo. back.
You know, Facebook took a step towards addressing compensation for third-party content and video. I think that they're going to still have to work towards finding a great way to compensate content providers. Obviously, this is it's top of my radar for the work we do at BuzzFeed. But I think that Facebook still needs to iron out how they pay people for the content that shows up in people's feeds. So rather than just in, you know, advertised videos. So I think that, and I think it extends beyond Facebook. I think Facebook is the biggest player, you know, still, you know, the amount of revenue generated on YouTube for video content providers is huge compared to what happens on Facebook. So I think Facebook has to deal with that or they're going to start losing their content. So I'm just
makes
saying.
Sense.
Yeah.
Okay. Tim.
So I think the Apple Watch 2 will be a disaster and pretty much bury the smartwatch category.
Wow.
Wow. Whoa.
Gulp.
Wow.
Yeah. We'll see.
That's a big one.
How do we measure that one?
Well,
so now it's now a competition for Grant. Yeah, Grant wants measurable results now.
Well, one is they have to come out with an Apple Watch 2, which is still a question, but I think they will. And there won't be enough of a change over the original one to really gain adoption. And the platform, I don't see the platform going anywhere. So I'm not sure if there's enough there to really sustain another year of growth. But we'll see.
I think there has to be an activation of the medical opportunities for Apple.
I agree.
Really cool. I mean, until they can actually use that technology that's dormant right now in the watch, from what I understand, what I can tell, it's dormant. They got to do something with that.
I totally agree.
Yeah, and there is developer interest. I mean, I got to think developer interest is going to continue to grow. That's what's really going to make it happen or not. You know what I mean?
Yep.
Not Apple.
And Graham, what's your number three?
Well, you know, I think that non-Amazon, meaning brick and mortar retail, will continue its downslide. We'll see thousands of more store closings, and we'll continue to see entire companies going away, you know, a la Sears. And, you know, and I'm talking generally here now. Obviously, we're getting out of tech a little bit here, right? But, you know, companies like Macy's are, you know, you wonder how long these kinds of companies can survive. I mean, brick and mortar is just a lousy business. I think Target will continue to underperform, meaning the stock, and Best Buy as well, but to a lesser extent. And certainly, if I were a market analyst, neither would be a buy in my book, and I'd rate Target as a sell and Best Buy as a hold at best.
Wow.
So there you go.
So
retail sucks.
So they're going to be around.
Unless you're Amazon, then...
So they're going to be around, though, like TV stations are and radio stations and newspapers. And it's just that they're not going to continue to grow. Well,
newspapers, don't even bring that up. But that suggests another prediction that I won't make. But go ahead to the next.
All right. My number three is, and I know, just don't hiss and yell quite yet. Let me finish. Virtual reality will become a top category for gadgets. I mean, we already have the Oculus Rift, the HTC Vive, the Sony PlayStation VR stuff. We got Microsoft's HoloLens, which could be argued as more of an augmented reality than a virtual reality. Mm-hmm. But I think that augmented reality is going to knock out virtual reality because it's cheaper. It's easier to use. Every time I'm in a place where I am interested in the history of it, I would love to have an AR app that would do an overlay of the place that I'm in and use GPS to overlay the correct imagery over some place that I am, so I can see it. And I would want to do that. I wouldn't want to slip on some goggles and look around or whatever. But I think VR is going to continue to grow dramatically in 2016. But I think AR is going to be the one that
more mainstream.
Goes much more mainstream. Yep.
Yeah. Yep. You can do it on your smartphone. You don't
exactly
strap on a freaking welder's helmet or whatever the hell that thing looks like.
Yep. Phil.
Back to me. Let me scroll up.
So now you've got to insult Steve.
Yes, this is the part in the show where I insult Steve.
No. Yeah, I predict Steve, Phil will insult me now. Okay.
No. Steve will get 4K TV this year.
Oh, okay. Well, I just bought a 60-inch Samsung about 6 months ago.
I still think the 4K is too much of a lure for you. So, and that's when I say Steve will get a 4K, I think you'll see more and more uptake on the 4K TVs, though the content isn't there yet. I think it will continue to grow because there's a lot of, what else are you going to see at CES other than TVs? So I look for that market to grow.
Well, and I was at Costco this weekend or this past week. And they have a Sony, essentially it up-levels a Blu-ray disc to 4K.
Up-converting,
thank you. Remember how when HD really hit and DVDs, you had all these old DVDs? Well, the new players had up-converting built into them. Well, now, if you're like me, I've got a $400 Sony Blu-ray player that I bought, 3 years ago, and I'm not going to buy another one. And so buying one of these up converters would be pretty cool, and it would up convert it to 4K.
That'll be like a separate box.
It is. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So
interesting. Well, Best Buy certainly is hoping for, and Target too, I'm sure, for 4K to come on sooner rather than later, because they need more stuff to sell.
Yeah.
More new stuff.
Graham, number four.
Okay, I think...
You missed me.
Oh.
Yeah, you skipped right over.
Oh, jeez.
I didn't do mine.
Tim, sorry.
You know why they did that, don't you, Tim?
I know.
Because you're speaking ill of Apple. That's why they're skipping over you.
Well, now I'm not going to speak ill of Apple. Right? But I'm going to speak ill of what we're going to see, which is I think we'll see 15 to 20 major hacks this year.
But nobody will pay attention to them.
No, it'll become so ubiquitous. I think it'll be like every other week. We will see some major chain or some big hack, and we'll see people turn against using credit cards to pay for things. And I think that alternative payment systems like Apple Pay and Android Pay and all these other systems will rise in that place, and people will pay using their phones or with cash like I do. And away from credit cards.
Wow. You know,
where I stayed up north on the North Shore, Steve.
I saw where you were. Yep.
They actually had a sign that they take Apple Pay in the office. I go, oh, you take Apple Pay? And he goes, yeah, nobody's used it yet. And I go, I hardly have either, because I found it, just as easy to pull out the card to me anyway.
So I just put a link in the show notes. From Brian Krebs, the guy that broke the Target story and the guy that does online security, about lazy authentication. And it's about how his PayPal account was hacked. And mainly it's because he had a great password on it, but they don't have two-step authentication with an app on your mobile phone, for example. And they if you call in, you can social engineer them and say, here are the last four digits of my social security number, and here's the last four of a credit card. Well, you haven't used that credit card for a while. Yeah, but that's the one I've got with me right now. Okay. And they reset the password.
Ouch.
And so he was able to get his account hacked, or he got his account hacked. You got to read the story, but more and more of this kind of stuff's going to happen too. And what I like is, and I'll just shut up in a second, but what I like is is how people are doing things like this. They say never ever answer security questions with real answers. So what elementary school did you go to?
Black Rock High.
Yeah. It's like, but you put in something completely false.
Yeah.
Folsom Prison, or whatever, you just make something up.
Then you got to remember.
Well, you got to write it. You got to have it. You got to use the same thing. But anyway, it's something that is impossible to find online because you just made it up.
Your mother's maiden name is Carter Cash.
There you go. Graham, what's your number four, buddy?
Well, you know, this kind of won't surprise a lot of people, I suppose, but Google, or more correctly, Alphabet, will shut down at least three more of its much-type new ventures.
Ooh.
Because it's already losing at least $1.5 billion a year on these side bets. And, you know, and along with this, advertising will continue to account for at least 90% of Google's profits. A big change from... I'm not predicting a big change here. This is sort of, oh, yeah, okay, yawn. That's kind of what they've been doing. So
wow,
we'll see more of it.
Well,
be major, you know, new ventures is what I'm predicting here, not the little crazy ones that we don't hear much about.
Well, I'll see if I can find these links, but I've read two articles just in the last week about Google's search is beginning to downtrend.
Mm-hmm.
And it's because of you know, essentially hidden search engines that, you know, Siri is using, or Cortana in Windows 10, because it's obviously using Bing. And so it's beginning to hide the searches. And so this is a long-term problem for Google.
It is. They need new revenue sources.
Yeah.
But I guess I'm saying I don't see anything major coming in 2016 in that regard.
Yeah. Well, my number four is pretty general and not specific, and I apologize for that based on what you just said, Graham, not having something measurable. But Apple's going to make a big move. They're going to make one acquisition in 2016 with their tons of cash. Mm-hmm. And I don't know what that's going to be. It could be in the car space. That they maybe buy a battery factory. They've already hired a bunch of A123 engineers. And if you remember, that was the lithium ion car battery company out of Detroit was the primary one in the world. Mm-hmm. And they're going to make some moves relative to VR, virtual reality, or AR, and the enterprise. And so they're going to make some sort of a big acquisition.
I agree.
Okay.
Something.
Volkswagen.
Flip.
And that's something's going to drive their stock to 150.
It will.
Yeah, there you go.
There you go.
It will be part of it.
Yeah.
They're going to get into the military device manufacturing.
They're going to make military drones.
They're going to buy the CIA.
They're the ones that'll do the lasers on drones.
Yeah, oh, that's right. Yeah, they'll do the lasers. Yeah.
Yeah. That should be my prediction.
The death ray.
The death ray.
All right, Phil.
I'm going to stick to my, you know, re-up my.
He's going to redo his
reboot.
I'm going to redo my Code 42 prediction. I think they'll either sell it or acquire.
Okay.
Such a good prediction.
The public or be acquired.
All right.
Yeah.
Tim.
So I think gas is going to go to $25 a barrel this year.
And oil, you mean?
Yeah, oil. Yep.
Yeah.
And we won't see a lot more activity, though, just like we didn't last year when it went down to 35. You know, we'll see about the same amount of investment as normal in Minnesota startups. The money will get sucked up in other areas of the economy and not supporting, you know, the growth of new businesses.
Interesting. Well, what's nice is the U.S. savings rate is at the highest level in 12 years.
Hmm.
And so I think people are taking this money that they're saving and they're paying off debt and they're saving it.
They're doing that. Plus the housing is going up with interest rates.
Exactly.
Increasing and rents are increasing. So that's another area where the money's getting sucked up.
Yeah. Graham.
Okay, well, this is some specific Apple predictions that tie into what Steve just said. I do think we'll see a major acquisition, and I quantify that by Apple. I mean, I quantify that in the range of at least $300 to $500 million in value. I also still think they're going to make at least a small acquisition in the hearables space. I do see their PC market share growing to 8% It was 7.6% in 2015. That's not a big part of their business, but Macs are definitely expanding in the enterprise and overall in the PC market. And I do predict a watch upgrade program as part of the Watch 2.0 announcement. I can't see how they can not do something there with 10 to 12 million units out there. So that's kind of a an out there prediction, but we won't know until when do we expect a Watch 2.0 announcement? Spring or
March? They're saying
March. That's the rumor. Okay. Well, we'll know soon whether an upgrade program is part of that, but it'll be it'll kind of make it disappointing if there isn't. I think.
Yeah. All right. Well, my number five is. And this leverages off of one of yours, Tim. Cybersecurity will be the most important thing in 2016. There'll be one to two more major hacks. I mean, that hit the news, like the Ashley Madison thing or like the Target breach. And we're going to hear a lot about it. And I'm sure it'll be terrorism related, and we'll end up with, the law enforcement and FBI and so on rattling their sabers about encryption. But I think more and more people are going to realize how vulnerable they are and what's at stake. And so the demand on all connected products and services are going to make security a number one priority. And especially what you were saying, Phil, about IoT, the number one hurdle is going to be security.
Yep.
So,
yep.
All right. Those are our predictions.
You're going to see more stuff, pork barreled into pending legislation as well. Yeah, that'll get more and more stuff will be given up through that.
Yep. So,
anyway.
All right.
Do we want to skip the cool thing of the week? Because we're running long.
We have to
notify the affiliates. We're running long.
Yes. That's right. That's right. Well, okay. We got a couple of things in the upcoming events. I stumbled across this complete list of 250 plus tech IT and developer conferences in 2016. And
wow,
I was blown away. So I put a link in there to the posts and also to the list as a Google spreadsheet. And, it's really a great list. And then Mini Analytics on the 22nd, right, Graham?
Right. And it's already in a sellout waitlist thing, but do waitlist because the waitlist will open up. So we'll have 700 plus people there.
Wow.
And then Mini WebCon is going to happen in April. And if you're interested in presenting at Mini WebCon, you can sign up for that. And that's all we've got for upcoming events.
Well, they're good ones. We'll see more, I'm sure, as we go on here. In 2016.
That's right. And
of course, we'll talk about it on
the Minivate Gang podcast.
Yeah.
Take care.
Have a good week.
Take care.